sound. Welcome to the official podcast of Solar Flight Productions and SolarFlightPro.com. This is the show where we talk about movies, TV shows, and the news. I'm your host, Garrett Ray. Joining me, it's Ian Hackney.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode.
You almost said stream, didn't you?
I don't know, man.
Ian's been up for a while. We don't know how many hours, but for a while.
It's best not to count.
Yeah, probably. All right, so this week we have a very exciting show.
Yeah.
First up, we've got some insight into what it's like to wear a superhero costume.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, sucks. Second, we have the passing of yet another legend, unfortunately. And third, we talk about a movie, I guess?
Yeah.
It's pretty much a standard show. But this week, shorter than normal.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a lot less that's happened this week. Thank the Lord, for once, just, it was kind of calm and quiet.
Calm, quiet, and collected.
Hopefully. I don't know why you said calm and quiet, and it sounded like kumquat to me. And I'm trying to remember what a kumquat is.
I don't know, but I've heard the word.
Is it like a fruit?
No. I feel like it's like a derogatory term, maybe.
Well, I hope not. How is it spelled?
I don't know.
Well, what use are you then?
Probably not derogatory, that's not the right term, but like, you're a kumquat. I don't know.
Kumquats are a group of small fruit-bearing trees in the flowering plant family Ruticae. They were previously classified as forming the now historical genus Fortinellia, or placed within the Citrus sensu lato.
Oh, okay. It's a tree.
They look like oranges.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a kumquat.
Yeah.
Look up kumquat, everybody. Join in on this with us.
It looks like are those like the little tiny oranges that they put the smileys on that they feed children?
No, those are, these are a little more egg-shaped.
Okay.
The kumquats are. The little ones, I think those are in fact oranges. They're just picked a little early, maybe?
I don't know.
I'm not a fruit aficionado. Wasn't this a comedy podcast?
This is comedy. This is gold.
Yeah, it's hilarious that we don't know what a kumquat is. All right, you want to get into the news?
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's talk about Oscar Isaac's time filming X-Men Apocalypse. Apparently, 'twas a nightmare.
Who's not Oscar nightmare, Isaac?
What?
Is that Magneto?
No, that's
Apocalypse?
Yeah, Apocalypse is who Oscar Isaac played. I'm trying to remember who played Michael Fassbender. That's Magneto.
I like that guy.
He's very good, very good. So during an interview with GQ, Isaac broke down one of his most iconic characters, which, this is conjecture from Screen Rant. I don't think Apocalypse is one of his most
iconic.
Poe Dameron is probably more, more of his iconic character.
Overall, as a character, maybe, but in the movie.
I never know anyone who, I've never talked to anyone who was like, I can't wait to see Apocalypse in a movie.
Yeah,
no one ever said that.
True.
Or Whiplash, Iron Man 2. So ultimately, he was detailing his excruciating experience working on X-Men Apocalypse. He specifically pointed out that he was unaware of how uncomfortable the costume would be. So this is something, look, if you're going to be an actor, just know you're going to be uncomfortable. For those of you who just haven't done it before and want to get into it, it's always, 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 always worse than you expect.
Yep, 10 out of 10. Well, 2 out of 2 for me.
Yeah, but it is... It is a lot of fun if you're into it. I've just tortured you in several projects, but so he specifically pointed out he was unaware of how uncomfortable the costume would be, revealing that the suit was not only quote encased in glue, latex, and a 40-pound suit, but also quote had to wear a cooling mechanism at all times.
Wow,
because it was hot and all that. So it also probably smelled bad. We can assume.
I can only imagine.
I don't even want to, because I had you wearing winterish clothes in the middle of summer, and you weren't wrapped in 40 pounds of latex.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I had to go sit in my car in the air conditioning for like 30 minutes just to like reset.
Sorry about that.
I didn't have to. I just chose to.
I kept forcing water bottles on you as well to try and make sure you were hydrated.
I do fairly well in the heat, so it wasn't bad.
I don't. I shrivel like a raisin. But
it's all right.
So the actor, he questioned his decision to take the role in the first place when he was on set.
I could tell there was something in his eyes. I was like, he doesn't want to be here.
It's definitely the one where Oscar Isaac seems the most like, what, just get this over with. But yeah, apparently he was originally looking forward to working with great actors in the movie, like Lawrence and James McAvoy. And Michael Fassbender, but he never got to see them because he had trouble moving his head.
Oh, no.
He said, quote, "I had to sit in a specifically designed saddle because that's the only thing I could really sit on, and I would be rolled into a cooling tent in between takes."
Wow.
It's horrible. I'm just laughing because he's like, yeah, I was on set with them, never was able to look at them in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So he said every time I moved, it was just like rubber and plastic squeaking. So everything I said had to be dubbed later as well. And then getting it off was the worst part because they had to kind of scrape it off for hours and hours. So that was X-Men Apocalypse. It's horrible.
That sounds horrible.
I mean, just...
I wonder if Thanos had it that bad, or is Thanos completely
CGI?
He's
completely CGI.
Why didn't they just do that with Apocalypse?
I don't know. Probably because Marvel has more money than Fox.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just making excuses for them. They should have not...
That was a bad idea.
Like, I like the idea of practical effects, but at the same time, it's like, when the actor can't move his head, it's very difficult to...
Act?
Yeah. So at what point are you doing something for the sake of going, no, we did it practically versus this is the best choice for it?
Exactly.
But I'm sure there were a lot of conversations and they made the choice that was right for the situation that they were in, or made the wrong one. Who knows?
Sounds like it was wrong, but we'll see.
You want to know about someone who's doing something right, though?
Yeah.
So apparently the director of Godzilla, King of the Monsters, is done with the movie. He put on Instagram, said, quote, "It is done with love and gratitude to the thousands of talented people all around the world who helped make this lifelong dream a reality. In Godzilla we trust, at Godzilla Movie."
Wow. Is that the one with the chick from Stranger Things?
Yes. Yes. So okay. It stars...
Eleven,
and then also Vera Famiglia. I can never remember that lady's name. It's very not general English.
That's okay.
I think it's Italian.
Might be.
But anyway, yeah, so that movie is done 6 months before its release date.
Is that good?
That's pretty crazy, yeah. I mean, normally, like Transformers 2, they were actually editing and finishing up final shots. Like, there was an unreleased version... Or no, a released version, the first like showing in China was not completely done.
Wow.
Yeah, like they were that down to the wire of finishing that movie. So this is crazy.
That's pretty good.
And I mean, there are lots of movies that finish and then they struggle to find distribution, but this is a movie that was like, it's got a release date, blah, 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 go make the movie, and they went and got it done this early. So that's really awesome.
Pretty good.
You want to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
They found a director?
Maybe?
Let's hear
Not quite. So Travis Knight is being eyed to direct. So this is the guy who is directing Bumblebee, who directed Bumblebee, the movie that's coming out. This
we're really close to reboot. That.
Yeah, sort of offshoot, more like.
Yeah.
So yeah, but if you're hearing a beedididing, that's my microwave going off because I tried to cook a pizza while doing the podcast.
Go get your pizza.
We're a professional outfit here.
Yeah, we are.
Well, I'm gonna finish this story. So basically, Travis Knight, the microwave's going off, but it's cooking in the oven. So I'm all over the place.
Uh-huh.
He's in the running for the job. In addition to Bumblebee, he also directed 2016's Kubo and the Two Strings, which did you ever see that?
That was a good movie.
It was good. Yeah, it's very visually striking. You know, because of the stop motion animation style, especially. I thought it was a really good like emotional story. All the performances were great. I think that he's definitely got a I'm more hopeful for Bumblebee now that I remember. That's director,
the same guy.
So be doing this Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Well, good luck, Travis.
Yeah, everyone's going to hate it, no matter how well you do. So you're a brave man if you take that on.
And if it comes out around the same time as Suicide Squad 2, oh, baby.
Oh, no. That would be the best theatrical showdown of all time.
I want to know what does better.
Yeah. I really hope they do come out at the same time.
Two movies I'm actually looking forward to.
All right, I'm going to go get my pizza, and then we'll come back to this.
Do it.
Okay, we've had pizza. I've had pizza. You've had a nice conversation about Kanye West with me.
It's true. I was there. That happened.
I still don't have my headphones plugged in.
Do you really need it? Plug it in and see if it's different.
Okay. Yes, it is in fact very different. I can hear my voice now.
And there's the magic. I like it.
All right. Sorry, I had to burp out some of that pizza air.
Pizza pepper.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. So let's move on. Jared Leto is teasing that Morbius is filming now or soon.
Morpheus?
Morbius.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I keep saying Morpheus, but that's not what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about that.
Morbius the Living Vampire. So on his personal Twitter account, Leto demonstrated a mild example of his transformation for his role in Morbius the Living Vampire with a short video. The video features Leto shaving his face with an electric razor in a comical fashion. Uh-huh. Then, once he's completely clean-shaven, comically, the video cuts away to a close-up of Morbius's face captioned with hashtag Morbius, indicating that Leto is now physically prepared to embody the role of the living vampire.
All he had to do was shave?
Yep. He's a very pasty white man, so...
Yeah, there you go. He's a good-looking guy, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
All I've seen is... just him being a bunch of crazy people, so I can't tell.
He's the lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good-looking guy. When he has his hair a little bit longer.
I think he's always got his hair a little bit longer. Yeah. Like, he did in Blade Runner 2049.
He used to have it short, though. A little bit.
We all did. It was the early 2000s.
Me too. I'm just now growing my hair back out, and I love it.
You're wearing a hat on stream all the time, so no one talks about it, though.
It's that middle stage, yeah. You know?
Katie's got her hair there, where it's like, it's just past her shoulders, and she can't do anything with it, and it's frustrating her. And, yeah, just it's got to reach that breaking point where she can, like, do all the crazy, like, fun stuff that girls do with their hair.
Mm-hmm.
How do we end up talking about my wife's hair? We were on Jared Leto.
Jared Leto, good-looking hair, long, hair middle.
And my
long.
Wife is good-looking.
Huh? Yes.
You better compliment my wife, dang it. So Dan Aykroyd says that the script for Ghostbusters 3 is being written right now.
Yay. Wait, so, what?
So
Is it going off the girl Ghostbusters? Or?
No. So no.
Okay.
That's never happening.
Just making sure.
So now with the female-centered Ghostbusters universe seemingly on ice because no one liked it, talk is resurfacing of a Ghostbusters 3 that reunites the remaining original cast members.
Who
in an
died?
Interview, what?
Who died?
Harold Ramis. Harold Ramis passed away. He was the guy who actually did all the science stuff.
The nerdy dude. Yes, I remember that. Yeah, it sucked.
He passed away. He was a very funny guy.
He was funny.
They all were. Except Dan Aykroyd. He's just angry all the time.
Was he the guy in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
No, that is... I knew his name right before I had to say it.
That's okay. I was just making sure it wasn't him.
No, different guy.
Okay,
different guy.
Good.
But yeah, so an appearance on AXS TV's The Big Interview with Dan Rather via Ghostbusters News.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters star and co-writer Dan Aykroyd talked about prospects for the sequel to happen and indicated that things are actually moving forward, saying, quote, "There is a possibility of a reunion with the three remaining Ghostbusters. It's being written right now."
They can actually center that whole story around the dead Ghostbuster.
They could.
It's literally a story about ghosts.
Yeah, but then it would be more interesting if, like, to do that story with Harold Ramis still being alive, but him, like, being a ghost.
Exactly.
But they can't do that unless they resurrect him digitally in ghost form, mm-hmm. which I think they probably wouldn't want to do.
No. But it would be cool if he was, like, in ghost form and, like, helped him out with something.
Yeah, maybe if he doesn't say something, they could do that.
Exactly.
Or it's just like his glasses floating around and pointing in the right direction towards uh-huh. something they need.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, do something that pays tribute to him.
Totes.
But yeah, I have no idea what that would be. And also, there was someone who like posted on the internet, they were like, "I can't believe you would do such a terrible sequel to Ghostbusters." And then someone, when the new Ghostbusters came out, like, "What? How can you take that and just screw it all up?" And someone just tweeted back a picture of the Ghostbusters 2 poster.
Oh, no.
Which is funny. It's actually, I've only ever seen Ghostbusters 2 all the way through. I never saw the original Ghostbusters all the way through in one sitting. I've just seen bits and pieces of it. I just remember being really young and seeing, like, the dog things at the end.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was like, "You know what? You're not old enough for watching this," and change the channel.
It got there. It's like, "Not yet, son."
Yeah. No, ow. Stop slapping the microphone. Just because you don't like the words that you put into it doesn't mean if you slap them, they'll come back out.
I punched it.
Once you say something, it's out there, Ian.
On the internet forever.
Forever.
No regrets.
Unless I don't... unless I cut it out and don't post it.
True that.
No editing. So, all right, let's move on. Five Nights at Freddy's.
Woo-hoo!
We've got a personal connection to this.
Yeah, kind of.
Because we played an offshoot of the game once.
Yeah, we're very personally connected.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, about as emotionally invested as a person can be.
Yeah.
But yeah, so posting an update on the game's forum via Variety, Scott Cawthon, who is the creator of the Five Nights at Freddy's franchise, got candid about the status of the Five Nights at Freddy's film, sharing that while a script has been written and got a stamp of approval from Jason Blum and Blumhouse, the studio that has the rights to it.
Yeah.
He didn't really like it, hence he decided to get rid of it.
The whole script?
The whole script. So he wrote the script, got it turned in, and then was like, you know what? No.
That's good.
I would agree, yes.
Yeah.
Couldn't get that sentence up.
I mean, we'll see what it ends up being. I mean, I don't know how they're going to make that into a movie, because it's such a terrifying game.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they want to take it a kiddie direction. Like, I don't know what they're thinking, but I feel like that's where it's going to go. Because how else can you really go with something like that?
Well, let's see what Scott has to say. So,
all right, Scott.
Jason Blum was hyping plans for an update supposedly coming soon, but Cawthon turned down the script and said, okay, guys, I had a script written. Jason liked it, and Chris Columbus liked it too, but I tossed it. I had a different idea for it, one that I liked better. I take responsibility for this delay. It's my fault. I'm determined to find the right story. I'm sticking to what I've always said. Either the right movie gets made or no movie gets made. I hate delaying a project that's already seen so many delays, but I have to go with my instincts on what I think will be exciting and interesting and what I think the fan base will really want to see. If that means that I have to start over 10 more times, then that's what I'm going to do. The good thing is that each attempt gets better and better, in my opinion. So despite the delays, it's going in the right direction. Cawthon proceeded to say that the Five Nights at Freddy's movie adaptation and its possible sequels will only coincide with the first three titles in the franchise, saying, quote, the games after Five Nights at Freddy's 3 will not exist in the movie universe. Like it or hate it, I felt that this was the best portion of the storyline to really focus on.
Okay.
So, is that does that give you a little bit of, like, thoughts about what they might be doing?
I mean, that was just the OG with the guy who worked at the pizzeria.
Yeah.
And then the guy who worked at the second one was like the prison where they were like, we keep him. Yeah, I don't know. It could be interesting. We'll see.
In any case, we'll never see this movie.
I might see it.
No, I mean, we'll never see it because he'll keep restarting it.
Right? Hopefully the world will explode by then.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't that be nice?
To
quote a Fallout commercial, wouldn't it be nice
if things were... Oh, yeah.
That was me making a bomb sound.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever just look off in the distance and just be like, I wonder what would just happen if the whole sky just turned red?
I mean, mostly...
And then a flash of light. Boom.
Oh, I was gonna say we'd have to start using different cosmetics, but
not me.
You know, because different... Well, yeah, you'd be fine. You're too darn beautiful. All right, so legendary screenwriter William Goldman, he has died at 87. He was the writer of The Princess Bride, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
He described himself as a novelist who writes screenplays.
Yeah.
Some could argue that maybe his screenplays are better than his novels, depending on who you ask. But
yeah.
He had some really awesome and fun and crazy ideas, and you know, that imagination that is not the same as a lot of other people's,
yeah.
If that makes sense. He had a particular style that captured the hearts and minds of people everywhere, from people who love Westerns to kids who love fairy tales. And so it's really sad to lose him, but he leaves behind quite a legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Stan Lee did.
True that. Rest in peace, kids there.
Yes.
Oh, I saw the worst thing. Do you know what TikTok is?
Okay, can you explain what TikTok is? Because I really actually don't know. I asked in the stream the other day, and people just laughed at me.
Do you know what Vine is?
I know what Vine is.
So, Vine is something that died. Everyone wanted Vine to come back. So, Vine 2 was rumored. It never came through.
Too expensive to produce, said the guy who made it.
Most likely, yeah. Something like that. So, a lot of different kind of startups came up with videos. Musical.ly, I don't know if you've heard of that.
I remember Musical.ly.
Where people just sing over songs. And then
I think Katie did that for a while.
Yeah, and then TikTok came shortly afterwards, which people thought was just a Musical.ly kind of reboot or like copycat.
Yeah.
But the cool thing with TikTok is people can make videos and then people can react to your video with videos. And so...
And like people can see both pieces of video at the same time.
And they both play at the same time. Interesting. So you can, like, people were starting to make things for people to react to. So not only were people, you know, reacting to them in cool ways, most of the time it was bullying, right? Because it'd be like some people like doing like some scene, like, don't you even know, take a picture. Oh, you see, that's what I look like in the sunlight. And so people would like take the flash and like they'd show the camera and it'd like be a picture of like Whoopi Goldberg or something. Yeah. Like something dumb like that. So it's just complete meme worthiness. And that's pretty much all it is. It's just,
as I've said many times, the internet was a mistake.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
if you have to see Whoopi Goldberg.
Hey, whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Whoa. I like Whoopi Goldberg.
I would have said that no matter who it was. Yeah, I just had that joke ready to go.
But yeah, it's the bad thing is it's so funny and I hate it. But there's this meme where a specific song plays, the same song for everything, and it shows a picture of something on the computer screen. So let's say you had the Dr. Pepper can on the computer screen. Mm-hmm. You clap, they cut it out. And then when the snap is done, the Dr. Pepper can's in your hand, right? And so they do that with a whole bunch of stuff. iPhone in your hand. This in your hand. And at the end, they had a picture of Stan Lee, and they were snapping, and he wouldn't pop back up.
Oh, no.
He was dead. And he was like, no, and he started crying. So, yeah, that's a popular TikTok meme now.
No, that sucks. So that brings me actually to a question.
Lay on me.
So there, Armie Hammer, who was the Lone Ranger, he was seeing everyone like post their tributes to Stan Lee, and basically he went out and was like, "Yeah, good way to pay respects to him is to post a picture of yourself with him, you know, and like you know, basically calling people out for being attention thieves."
Yeah,
that's not the word I was thinking of, but you know,
yeah, I gotcha.
But that he said something about that, and it's part of. I kind of felt the same way about it to a certain extent. I don't have his exact comments here right now, but basically I just thought, you know, I didn't want to post anything on our social media and just be like, look at us. We know about Stan Lee too. You know, I just wanted to, because I appreciate all the stuff that Stan Lee did throughout his life and all that stuff, but I didn't feel like I knew him well enough to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And Armie Hammer was like, there's a ton of people doing this that we're not that close to him, so you guys just suck.
Yeah.
And he came out and said something very strongly against it, and then someone from the Marvel Universe, I think, was like, wow, you look like a total jerk. Screw you. And so he's walked back those comments and was like, I shouldn't have said that. Well,
yeah.
But that is a question, like, when people post stuff like that, do you feel kind of weird when you see people who, like, obviously weren't Stan Lee's close personal friend?
It's a weird thing, and even with someone not famous, it happens, right? So, like, if I died tomorrow, you'd have, like, some guy I knew in high school who might have a picture of me, like, in the back being like, man, Ian was, like, a cool guy. It's like, if you think of it as at a smaller scale, it's, like, a little bit, like, less aggressive, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's just something people do.
Yeah.
People don't know how to react to death. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and so yeah, there is that.
It's just the, you know, hey, Stan Lee was great. I got to meet him once. Here he is with me. Rest in peace. It's that, just the social media era we live in.
Right, yeah. I don't think it's intentionally malicious. I think it's a little weird.
It's weird. It's still definitely weird. It's definitely weird. Like, I don't, like, if I die, there should be, like, maybe 5 people who write a long Facebook message about me, right?
Yeah.
Because no one else really knows me that well, you know? But, I mean, it might be a lot of people.
I mean, I wouldn't post anything about you if you died.
I mean, I hope you would.
I'd be too busy crying. I wouldn't be able to read the screen to type.
Don't cry. I'll be here.
Oh, in my heart? Or just haunting me?
Oh, yeah.
No, you know I love you. I'd post something, but it wouldn't be too long. People don't have that long of an attention span.
True that. So
I don't know how to deal with death. I'm uncomfortable right now, so I'm making jokes.
Aren't we all? I'm indifferent about the situation because I've had this. That's not the first time something like that's come up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if people post anything when I die, honestly. Like, yeah, it's not either going to bug me if you do or don't. I'll be dead.
It's true.
And also, like, If people post, like, some, like, oh, he was all these wonderful things and stuff, if by chance the afterlife worked in such a way where you could go and read things on the internet,
it's
still,
like, oh, wow,
I'd see it and be like,
thanks.
No, it wasn't. You said mean things to me.
Yeah.
This is not what you thought at all.
If there was... No, never mind. We're not going to get into that.
No, but there is no internet in heaven. Because exactly. The internet was a mistake.
Exactly. I'm going to say, if there was internet in heaven, there would be some interesting things online. But anyways.
All right. You want to get on to everyone's second favorite segment of the show?
Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson Explains.
Tell us about that movie coming in 5 years.
No.
TV show?
No.
All right, lay it on me.
So basically, Simon Pegg has said something. Do you know about Simon Pegg like going off on the prequel trilogy?
Negative.
Basically, he just was like, everything in the prequel trilogy is stupid and sucks, and Jar Jar Binks is like, he had a personal vendetta against Jar Jar Binks.
I remember you saying something about that. In the prequels 1-3, correct?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Episodes 1-3. Phantom Menace to the Revenge of the Sith.
And those were so good.
I love them.
I love them.
But they are objectively not good.
Oh, really?
In a lot of ways. They're shot in the laziest way possible.
Okay. But 4-6 aren't?
No. 4-6. 5 especially is, like, artistically good.
Okay.
When you look at the cinematography.
Okay.
But, like, all of... Everything in, like, the prequels is pretty much, like, two people walk a couple of steps and then they stop and they talk. And then maybe there's some action thrown in.
Yeah.
In between those moments.
Okay.
Whereas, like, today's movie has some interesting exposition moments that you see, like, oh, there's more stuff going on, and it keeps it interesting when people are talking about what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, and then some moments. Yeah. But basically, Simon Pegg, he was interviewed on the Adam Buxton podcast, and not a plug. Not saying you should go listen to them. You should listen to ours only. But... Sorry, I'm still burping.
Imagine going to their podcast and seeing a comment. Hey,
brought here from Roll Sound.
Yeah, brought here from Roll Sound. How did I forget the name of the freaking podcast?
You're on the show.
I am right here.
I'm gonna have to put it up on the wall so you can look up and go, "Which show is this?"
Oh yeah, here from Roll Sound.
Yes, you That'd almost forgot crazy. It again, didn't you?
Yes,
I did. But basically, he was interviewed on that other podcast that shall not be named, and Pegg talked about his feelings about the modern Star Wars films, and basically this is what he said. He quote, "Wow, that came out weird." He said, quote, "I must admit, watching the last two Star Wars films, you know, The Last Jedi, the overriding feeling I got when I came out was, I miss George Lucas. For all the complaining that I'd done about him in the prequels, there was something amazing about his imagination. I do feel like his voice is missing from the current ones." And I think that's sort of the same sentiment that I had, was like, they kind of look like Star Wars movies, but they don't feel like Star Wars movies in the same way.
Yeah.
The Force Awakens definitely felt closer. The Last Jedi didn't feel like a Star Wars movie to me.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of that, George Lucas is a weird dude.
You need weird.
Yeah.
To make great.
I wish I was weirder.
Yeah, normal doesn't make great. Normal makes normal.
And normal's just okay.
Yeah. You can like get by with normal. But weird, that's where things really start to spark.
Which is maybe something that's talked about in today's movie. Bloody tell you what.
Yeah.
So that's the end of Ryan Johnson Explains.
Hey, I'll see you next week, Ryan Johnson.
And also a short philosophical discussion.
Yeah.
Which brings us to everyone's favorite segment on the show. It's time to talk about what the heck is going on at DC.
I'm excited about my Joker movies.
Birds of Prey.
What?
apparently the movie is filming.
Cool.
So during an interview with Bionic Buzz at the Variety 10 Actors to Watch and Newport Beach Film Festival Fall Honors event this month. Gosh, it's too long of a name.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead confirmed that Birds of Prey starts filming in early 2019 with a February 2020 release date target. She also spoke a bit about the movie's narrative and said, quote, "It's sort of a spin-off of Suicide Squad. It kind of follows Harley Quinn, which is Margot Robbie's character from those films, and this sort of girl gang that she puts together. I play Huntress, and we've got Black Canary, played by Journey Smollett-Bell, and Rosie Perez and Ewan McGregor. It's a really fun cast. We haven't started shooting yet, but we start shooting in January, and I can't wait." So the headline that I read wrong, and also was wrong because of how I read it.
Yeah, it's fine. But they literally just got the most ragtag group of female villains.
Well, they're not even necessarily villains. Like, Black Canary is not a villain.
She's not?
She's kind of a vigilante, you know, as all superheroes are. But as far as I remember, no. Well, I'm just basing that off of my knowledge of the Justice League TV show.
Yeah, they were kind of respun on that one.
Huntress isn't a villain, though, is she?
I don't know.
I don't think she is. I think she... I mean, she's kind of like Green Arrow, but purple. But
yeah. Well...
In any case, it's starting filming soon, so get your hopes up, everybody. Woo! Speaking of getting your hopes up and immediately having them let down, the Flash movie's back in the news.
No.
So,
stop.
As part of a wide-ranging profile, Playboy, you know, that article people read that magazine people read for the articles. Dang it, I had that joke planned and I ruined it. They spoke to Ezra Miller about his life and career. The conversation eventually turned to the status of his solo superhero movie and whether or not he was worried about the project ever getting off the ground. So this is what he said, quote, "Nothing is ever certain in this world, but as certain as things get, we're making an effing crazy dope Flash movie. It's one of my great life dreams, and in the fact that we're on the way, anyone who knows about Barry Allen knows that he may arrive late, very late, but once he gets there, it's all solved. We have to trust."
We have to trust. Was Ezra kind of looked like the guy in the movie we were talking about today.
Yes, he was in this movie.
Oh,
and
that
also
was him?
The one before it. Okay. Yes.
He's so awkward. He was in the first one, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It's a very... Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there, and we'll get into that, which we can now, because we're at the end of everyone's favorite segment. What the heck is going on at DC?
No Joker movies, obviously.
There was something... There was, like, a picture that was released, the Gotham police chasing the Joker, whatever. It's happening.
Cool.
But, yeah, who cares? Which means it's time to talk about our sponsor.
Let's talk about them.
Grand Avenue Theater. If you're looking for a theater that is clean, courteous, and classy, well, I've got news for you. It's Grand Avenue. That's literally their motto.
Yeah.
Also, a weirdly specific list of things for you to look for in a theater. But, okay. yeah. But no, it's super clean. They clean it all the time. And then you've got a super courteous staff who's always willing to help you. All very nice people. I know most of them.
Yeah.
Now, so because I left, and when I worked there, it was like all people I really liked, and then I left, and then I came back, and it was like all new faces, and I was like, I don't know about these people, and they're great too.
Oh,
so
great, yeah,
it's nice, and it is a classy environment. You walk in, and you're just like, I like this.
It's super nice.
It really is. Like we say that, and we're not paid to say that, technically speaking.
Yeah, we're not.
We have a very loose sponsorship.
Exactly.
So we're not saying these things because we're forced to. There's no written out thing. These are things that I actually believe, which is why I say them. Like their full service kitchen having awesome food.
I got mozzarella sticks and french fries today.
Yeah, how were those?
Delicious.
Yeah, I wanted to get chicken nuggets, but then I didn't eat.
That's okay.
I got there late. I'm sorry.
I was going to get a shake on the way out, but you know.
They got Bluebell ice cream.
Yep.
Like, it's the good shakes. Like, handmade milkshakes. It's none of this, like, you know, you go to Sonic and they're just kind of... Like, they scoop it. There's milk. They use, like, vanilla syrup. The whole nine yards. It's awesome.
Delicioso.
And they've got a bunch of flavors, and they'll do pretty much any of them. Cookies and cream milkshake.
That's what I'm going for.
So good.
Next time.
So good.
I say that every time. I can't do it in the theater because I'll be too cold.
Yeah.
But like right afterwards is when I want to get it.
Yeah, when you're walking around and you got your body heat going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thanks for sponsoring us, Grand Avenue Theater.
Appreciate it.
You and your milkshakes.
Delicious.
Brings all the boys to the lobby. You and me. We're all the boys.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of... Never mind.
All right, it's time to talk about the movie. This week we saw Fantastic
Beasts.
The exposition of Grindelwald.
The exposition of Grindelwald.
Yes. It's The Crimes of Grindelwald, but
okay.
I'm making a joke about the quality of the screenplay.
Oh, okay.
But I messed up saying the title, so I kind of want to do it again.
You want to just reset that?
Yeah, okay, here we go.
All right, 3, 2, 1, action.
This week, we saw Fantastic Beasts, The Exposition of Grindelwald.
Okay. Wait.
I'm not going to cut it out. I'm just going to have people hear us say reset. But yeah, now you know why that joke was hilarious, dadgummit.
Hey, that's all right. I like it.
So yeah, this movie is a great many things, but I'm wondering, good sir, sitting across the thing from me, regardless of my jokes and what you think my review might be, what did you think of Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Mario World?
This was a very good movie.
Is that a good, bad, great, or terrible, though? You gotta make a decision.
It's good.
It's good?
It's good.
I'm in the same camp.
Yeah.
Because there's enough stuff in here that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, I'm not a Harry Potter aficionado.
Yeah.
I have seen, including this one, I have seen 3 Harry Potter films that I actually paid attention to. All of them have been on in front of me, but I think I mentioned this on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. When I marathoned them with my girlfriend and her friend, I was talking with them the whole time. I didn't watch the movies.
Yeah, you're it's like, well,
so I've seen,
oh, you're that guy.
I'm that guy.
They're like trying to watch the movie, and you're like, so...
No, they weren't. They were trying to show them to me and stuff, and there were like a couple parts where they're like, "Watch this part; it's really important."
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "Okay, whatever." But she was about to move across the country, and then we were going to try long distance, and so I was trying to spend all the time I could with her. I was like, "I don't care about these movies; I'm here with you, babe, who mm-hmm. I will be with forever." We broke up shortly after, but but that, you know, that experience is like, I don't remember any of it.
Yeah,
I saw The Goblet of Fire separate from that, and then last night I watched Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Okay. Was that your first time seeing it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's all I've seen. That's all I know. I've never read any of the books.
Yeah.
I'm like one of the few kids that I, you know, in that era of middle school
that didn't watch
that
or
didn't do any Harry Potter
read movies. The Harry Potter books.
Yeah. I read the Spiderwick Chronicles books.
Okay.
And they're shorter and a little bit kiddier and stuff like that, but I loved that world a lot, and so like that's what I was into. And by the time that I was done with those, I don't know, I fell off reading books for a while.
Same.
I'm back on it a little bit more now, but I'm audiobooks because my eyes are tired.
Good.
But yeah, so let's... this movie is an interesting animal because I know what happened in the movie previous to this. Did you ever see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
No.
So you went into this, and I'm guessing there's a lot that was kind of confusing.
I mean, he did a pretty good job of painting the picture.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so let's just leave it at, I think it's good, but it almost fell into bad for me.
Uh-huh.
Because I got bored.
Okay.
At a certain point. And I think that David Yates, I believe, is the director's name. And I don't love his direction sometimes. There's parts of it that I just am watching and going, this feels weird and out of place to me, mm-hmm. and the action scenes are not particularly interesting.
Yeah.
And this was something, especially like when I was watching Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them last night with Katie, we were just sitting there going, this should be exciting.
Yeah.
Why is none of this action stuff exciting to me?
Mm-hmm.
But the beasts are all really cool in that movie. You know, like it, that stuff was really interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I do think that the Harry Potter world as overall, I understand why people love it so much, because it does get your imagination going, like, possibilities.
Ooh,
you know,
cool.
All of this stuff.
They always like put some real world in there.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good enough movie to go and watch, but I wouldn't rush out to see it if you're not a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah,
I don't think it's got anything in it that really like pushes it into that land.
Like, wow, a must see.
Yeah, I don't think it's a must-see. Yeah. And the box office agrees with me on that.
I actually saw it. Didn't do that great.
Yeah, this is the lowest opening for the entire Harry Potter franchise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, the first one was like exciting, but not well taken.
Right,
should say.
It had some growing pains.
Exactly. So I could assume that this one would just be like, well, I didn't like the first one. Why would I see the second one?
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I do think, like, this one is, it's very muddy on what it wants to be, or what it wants to talk about. Like, who is important, who is not. It feels like it gets lost.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
And I think, let's get into the spoilers.
Yeah, let's go.
So we did our spoiler-free, this is spoilery. You've been warned. I think the problem is the script.
Okay.
There's definitely some direction stuff that there are things I disagree with, not necessarily that they're bad.
Yeah.
This is just one person who, you know, goes, I wouldn't shoot that scene in that way, but
uh-huh.
also I know that doesn't mean that it's wrong to shoot it in that way.
Exactly.
And so, but the script especially feels very much like it's written more like a book.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because J.K. Rowling wrote the script for this one.
Right, they probably wanted to keep it really close to home.
Well, it's I think it's more of just her style of writing. When you're writing a book, you do these long expositional things because that fills everyone in, because the action you can talk about and everyone builds it in their heads and all that stuff.
Exactly.
But a lot of it is just revealing information and backstory and characters' inner thoughts and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's not how movies work necessarily. There's a lot of difference in that. And And so when you're dealing with the movie, it all has to be very visual. But this movie, especially when the three characters that are all related due to this prophecy or whatever, they get into the tomb, the Lestrange tomb. It's just a bunch of exposition.
It is.
And it's very, like, okay. Like, this is the part of the movie where I leaned my head over on the chair next to me and just went,
uh-huh.
Because it's not interesting to watch at that point. Like, until they cut away to the ship and...
Where they're actually, like, showing, kind of, while talking.
Well, yeah, because she stops talking halfway through that scene. I was like, I can watch now. I don't have to listen as much.
You poor soul.
I mean, look, I'm fully aware of my own biases and, like, how I want stuff done and all that, which is... I try to be transparent about that on the show.
No, for sure.
But, yeah, like, that scene in particular was just... Everyone keeps talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and everyone's just standing in places, so the blocking's not interesting.
Yeah.
And so, like, what do you do with the cameras? You just have to watch them
hit. You just close up on faces.
Right, yeah. And so it just wasn't interesting to me.
True that.
Versus, like, earlier on in the movie where Dumbledore gets Newt to follow him to a rooftop, and then they talk in all these different spots, and, like, you know, they're walking on a bridge, or they apparate, or whatever the word is. Like I said, not a Harry Potter guy, sorry. I don't know.
I don't know what it's called either.
Don't roast me alive, but they teleport over to a bus, and they sit in the bus, and then they disappear from that. Like, that's interesting.
I like that whipping.
Yeah, the animation is really cool on that. Mm-hmm. I like the look of that. Yeah. The sound design's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think that cinematography-wise, overall, it looks really good.
It's pleasing.
But I have some questions for you.
Ask away.
Are there moments where you thought, why is the camera doing this?
Only when it was, like, super close to their face for, like, extended periods of time.
Okay. Can you name a specific moment, maybe? Like, because I want to see if there's something that I was, like, weirded out by. I want to see.
It's probably
if...
not the same moment, but okay. I think it was Lita, maybe, I believe is her character name.
I think so. I'll look that up while you talk.
When she was talking with Dumbledore?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he asked her a question, and I swear it was on her face close up for like 8 to 10 seconds with just silence.
Like, I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice that?
No, I didn't. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I didn't notice it.
It was like, was I a bad student scene?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Cause, well, yeah. And is that the only time they talked to each other?
It's not the only time, but it was like the time they talked, like, for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
To, I guess, show that they had history, you know? Not history, but, like, they knew each other.
Yeah. Yeah, Lita Lestrange. Mm-hmm. And that's Zoe Kravitz. Who, weird enough, I think her stepdad is Jason Momoa.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So.
Yeah, cool, cool.
Fun little connection there. But, yeah, I think the moments that got me were, like, when Newt first comes into the Ministry of Magic and he's about to apply for his ability to leave the country. There's moments where the camera goes to point of view from his point of view, and he looks between the two. Kind
of. I saw that.
And it's so weird. Like, why are we switching from a third person to this first person point of view in the middle of this conversation, and then back to third person and back into it? It's not like it happens once to show us what he's seeing.
It
switches back and forth.
And that's when it was, you were seeing the close-ups.
Yeah, they're so close.
Of Lita again. Like, super close. Like, we're in IMAX, and, like, you couldn't see her forehead or her chin. Like, it was that close.
Yeah, it's super close-up shots. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, I'm aware of this maybe just be a thing where I was like, well, that's just not how I would do it, and that's not an active criticism. That's not a valid criticism.
Yeah.
I'm saying it took me out of the moment because we were switching back and forth between different points of view.
Yeah,
and that I think from a, I think that's kind of a valid thought.
It is
in a way to say I got taken out of it because, and I noticed why.
Yeah,
you know. So actually we had someone comment on Instagram and they said, count how many times you say stupid and I wouldn't do that and fix that. And I was like, that's stupid. I wouldn't do that. So
haha, sir on Instagram,
you lose. I'm so kidding. I actually know the guy, but
okay.
Yeah, it's just,
yeah,
I don't know. He also said he listened to two episodes. I'm like, the last two episodes, I don't remember doing that. It was more about social commentary.
Hey, I mean, you'd be surprised.
I don't know. Maybe I should go back and listen to them a third time after the first time having the conversation. The second time going back and fixing audio issues. Right. And then the third time. Nah. So, yeah, this there's a lot of stuff in here that, like, I feel could be confusing if you haven't seen the first one. But do you know anything about Ezra Miller, Credence Barebone is what his name is in the movie?
No.
Do you feel it? Like, you understand who that person is?
For this movie, yeah. I mean, I don't see how he could have had a spot in the first movie. That's the only thing that's weird to me, because I feel like he was just so introduced in this movie, like, as someone, who is he? Or, like, the only part that showed me that he could have been in the last movie was when Newt was talking with the people who wanted the wizard people who wanted him to kill Credence. They wanted Newt to kill Credence. And, like, he acted like he knew him. He was like, ooh, I don't want to do that. Like, maybe he's his friend or something like that. But that's the only time I saw that maybe I might have missed something. Everything else was just like, he's just like this kind of down kid who wants to know who his family is.
Yeah. So basically, from the first movie, they're hunting for something called an Obscurus.
Uh-huh.
That's killing people in London.
Okay.
Like, he killed one of the politicians that's, like, on his way to, not London, sorry, New York.
Yeah.
And they think it's a 10-year-old child. Because this basically, an Obscurus is a sort of like parasitic magical force that attaches itself to children, and then they die because they can't contain it.
Exactly.
And so he ends up being the Obscurus, even though he's lived way past 10, so he's super powerful and able to control this thing better than anyone else has in the history of wizards. And it's, you know, it's an interesting enough plot twist in that movie. And that movie definitely has a lot of very thinly veiled parallels to real world things. Like, in America, in the Fantastic Beasts movie, they, like, wizards can't marry non-wizards.
Yeah.
And, like, Newt straight up says, I know you have backwards laws about this person can't marry this person. I was like, okay, the wizards are racist.
Yeah.
Got it. And then, like, with Credence's adoptive mother, she's supposed to, basically a religious fanatic, and she beats him, and so, like, all of these things, and, you know, it's like, okay, that's Westboro Baptist Church or whatever, like, you know, I we get it.
Mm-hmm.
You're whacking us in the face with it. It's not really clever so much as it is just there.
Yeah.
This movie has a little bit less of that.
The World War II thing.
So I thought that idea was interesting. Like, the fact that the wizards knew that World War II was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The bad guy did, whatever his name is. I can't remember.
Grindelwald.
The guy in the title.
The title of the movie.
I thought that was an interesting idea. I'm going, okay, so he has a good point. Like, he's trying to stop that. But at the same time, it's like, the irony is that he can't see that he's basically Hitler. Because, you know, when he says the beast of burden, like, that's, I think, I may be misremembering this, but I'm pretty sure Hitler called the Jews
beast of burden.
Beast of burden.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I need to brush up on my history. Sorry, history buffs, if I mess that up. But you know, it's that same sort of thinking.
Yeah.
For sure. And so that stuff is like, okay, like, I don't have anything against a movie trying to tackle something like that.
Right.
I think that's exactly what movies are for.
Yeah.
You know, same as
the envelope.
Yeah, and same as with the first movie. Like, you know, I don't have any problem with them using, like, the magic people versus the nomad people as an allegory for racism and that type of stuff. The problem is that they just, like, say that line and it's like, you get it?
Yeah.
And then they don't talk about it very much. Like, no one ever actually makes a case for why that's stupid. They just go, it's bad.
It's bad.
And
duh, it's 2018.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And so, so no one grows in their character because of it. No one, like, makes a point and goes, you're an idiot for thinking this. It's just, it's a one-off line.
Yeah.
And it feels... You know, it's just not... It's underdeveloped.
Right. You gotta have a no-maj guy saving a maj guy.
Yeah.
That's usually how they grow.
Yeah.
Anyways.
He does kind of do that in the first one.
Oh, he does?
But that doesn't change anyone's policies or anything.
Because he saves someone who already thinks that way. Probably. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know. He's not really in the end. He saves someone halfway through the movie.
Okay.
Sort of, while they're trying to catch a magical beast. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're talking about the second one. I like a lot of the performances. I don't think there's bad performances in the movie.
No, everything was great. I mean, I love Johnny Depp in anything. The only thing I disapprove about his character is wardrobe and hair.
Katie loves the way he looks, and I don't see why. He looks like a punk from the 90s.
He does, and like I was like, he just looks so past everyone else. Everyone else is like in like the old like wool coats, and he's like rocking leather with the buckles.
Yeah.
And like even the boots. And
he's a little like, steampunk.
Exactly. And
in 1927.
The thing is, he looked so cool at the beginning of the movie. Why didn't they leave his hair? Like, I get it. You know, he's been in captivity for this long.
And he's got to be charismatic to convince people.
I get it. But his hair was so, like, he looked like a cool villain
at
the beginning of the movie.
He did.
And then, like, it's just like, whoop, 3 months have passed and he got a haircut.
Yep.
And
I'm just basically.
Like, I'm like, I get it. And, like, I like it. And, you know, everyone's kind of clean cut and shaven, you know, whatever. But, bro, he looks so, like, cool. And, like, they should have kept the hair. The hair was like one of the best parts. I was like, this guy.
The hair
looks
looked
like
really good.
A madman. Like, imagine in Fallout, right? When, or Mission Impossible Fallout, when, what's his name? Escaped.
Yeah.
Right? His
hair. If they had given him a haircut.
Imagine him getting a haircut. Like, no, he's not getting a haircut. He has, like, this mission, right?
Yep.
It just kind of, it took me back for a second. I was completely thrown off. I was like, who is this? Oh, it's him.
Yeah.
But why?
I don't know. Do you think that it's the fact that his hair looks so ridiculous is like a play on Trump?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it could be.
It just feels like one of those things that one of these movies would do.
I understand J.K. Rowling is really big into the political thing.
Yes.
But I don't know.
Ironic enough, because she can't even vote here, I don't think.
I don't know. But I don't even keep up with crap like that. But
she doesn't even go here, Ian.
Right. But at the same time, it's just like, oh, he looks so cool. I was so upset because I was so ready for that guy for the whole movie. And then I kind of
looked deranged and wicked.
He looked like an evil wizard. He reminded me very much so of Sirius Black in the third Harry Potter movie, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Which, sort of didn't watch it.
Yeah, of course. But like he had the look of like the wizard that everyone said he was.
Yeah.
Of course, he ended up being a good guy at the end. But that was such a good look. Yeah. Anyways.
Too bad.
Yeah, too bad. Missed opportunity there, in my opinion. That was my only gripe about, you can't really say character performance, but like character appearance.
Yeah. I mean, I guess sort of the point is that he's not attracting evil people, he's attracting the
good people,
the people who think they're doing the right thing, and so he has to look the part of someone who actually is like on the up and up. And
yeah,
but yeah, no, I like all the leather and stuff wasn't my big issue. The big issue is the hair.
Yeah, I mean that. Me too. Like I love his hair,
and I don't love Johnny Depp as much as you do. I'll be honest. Like I used to, but he seemed drunk in some of these scenes.
Mm-hmm.
The way and it's just how Johnny Depp talks now.
Yeah.
He didn't used to in other movies, but
right.
Now he talks and everything he says is...
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, it's super distracting to me.
It is, but you know what I think? And, like, I have a feeling, like, this is what happens. Like, it could be they either got so big they can kind of do what they want, but I feel like on set, the directors are probably like, do you like how you would do with, like, this character or, like, this character?
Yeah.
I feel like that's such an easy route to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like just take something from here, but, like, put a spin on it.
Yeah.
And every time I hear, like, something familiar from another role, maybe, I'm like, the director or somebody probably asked him to kind of, like, pull from it.
It's interesting you point that out because I've actually had the thought. One of my dreams mm-hmm. is to work with Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah.
Everything even in Predator, he was fun to watch.
Uh-huh.
And that movie's terrible.
Yeah.
And like I admire Sterling K. Brown for his performance ability and his believability, and like he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I know if I ever got to work with him, especially because I've written a script
mm-hmm.
that like I had him in mind the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it would be very difficult for me to work with him and not go, well, you know, kind of like how Randall would do.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, it's very easy to fall into that trap because you're like, oh, I know he can do this thing and this is what's in my head. Mm-hmm. So do it like that. But yeah, it's that is an interesting thing that you would point out. And
that's from a non-director's point of view. That's what I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And me coming from the writing and directing point of view going, you're right, it's dangerous. So this movie, though, does it feel lost in what it's actually trying to tell you, or like the story it's trying to tell to you?
It does, and it feels like a runner-up movie, like a movie leading up to another movie. The whole thing, unfortunately,
it's The Hunger Games Catching Fire.
Exactly, and it's just like,
or Mockingjay Part 1. I don't want to dig on Catching Fire.
I hated it because the whole time I'm like, please just get to a point, right? Please just like give me this big like, okay, this is the main issue, so we can you know start to resolve it,
right?
That wasn't what this movie was. This movie was about making all of these kind of like problems and then not solving anything.
It's about Newt trying to repair things with Tina after she thinks that he got engaged to someone else. It's also about Credence trying to find his purpose or his family history. Uh-huh. Then it's also about also with the spoiler that everyone hates with the twist at the end. It's also about like Grindelwald trying to do good, evil bad. Things and get to Credence and stuff like that. And I feel like,
and then
there's not enough cause and effect.
No,
I think that's the thing that gets me is like Newt pursuing Tina also accomplishes the goal of finding out what's going on with Credence.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense in the way that, you know, she's on Credence's tail.
She's an aura and all that.
Yeah.
And she's there.
Right. But at the same time, it seems to me like it would be more interesting if Newt had to make a decision between chasing Credence and saving him or chasing Tina, and he chooses to chase Tina instead. And that is exactly why Credence ends up with Grindelwald, but he doesn't.
Yeah,
he just makes that decision on his own at the end, and like Newt has no effect on Credence. Why exactly. is Newt even in the movie then?
Right, he seemed like not a main character.
Yeah, and he felt like that a little bit in Fantastic Beasts, the first one as well. Really? But at the same, but that one was about the beasts and like people blaming it on Newt when it was actually Credence's Obscurus who was causing the actual mm-hmm. issues. And so like, the argument I'd like to make very mm-hmm. loosely and without much supporting evidence or thought,
lay it on me,
is Newt could not be in this movie and it wouldn't change very much.
Yeah. Like it'd still just be leading up to the next one. Newt could have been off
chasing some sort of magical beast. Fairy creature. Yeah. I mean, it's, and I hate to say that because I really like Eddie Redmayne.
He makes me want to watch the first movie.
I wouldn't say don't watch it.
Like
I still have it for another couple hours if you want to watch it.
No, but I love his character. Like he just does everything so perfectly. Like usually when someone's like just be awkward, like you can tell, and it's just makes it awkward.
He's awkward because of who he is, which
exactly.
is
and like
really
he's
good.
So awkward, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love his character. Like, it's so great. I like him. I like him.
It does get frustrating at one point, though, when they're in the Hall of Records or whatever, and it's like, just say you're not engaged already, and it drags out for like 3 or 4 minutes. It's like,
that was the forced awkwardness, which is probably script.
Stop doing it. Yeah, it's definitely script.
Yeah.
Like,
he's already awkward. Don't force it.
Right, yeah.
He's awkward.
Like the whole, well, I want you to be happy, but don't be happy because you think I'm happy because I'm not happy. It's like, okay.
Come on.
Yeah. And that was 2 minutes into that scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was.
They could have just skipped to the, your eyes look like salamanders. I've read your book. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
On to the next.
Oh, God, that is why she knows that he's going to say salamanders. I was wondering, why does she say that? And I watched the first one.
Yeah, I read your book. That's why. Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I'm stupid.
It's okay.
But yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't make sense. Like the thing with the circus, what did that actually add?
I thought that had something to do with the first movie.
No, absolutely not.
So he was just in a circus just because?
Yes.
He was just
Movie.
That's where he ended up after being a grievance in the first, or whatever he was.
An obscurance, but yes.
Obscurance. He just decided to join the circus.
Yes.
And he fell in love with a circus snake. Yes. That just happened in the middle. Okay, cool.
I have no idea who that character is, how they met. I don't get it. She, like, apparently loves him.
They love each other-ish?
That doesn't really get... Like, that relationship is just there because movie.
Yeah.
It's nothing that's ever set up. It feels very forced to me.
The whole circus thing was forced.
Yeah, it was like it was... Also, I was sitting there watching it and going, why would anyone in the magic world need a circus?
Yeah.
No one would go to it.
I mean, they had some interestingly weird things, I guess. You know, you never hear of someone who turns into a snake and get to see it.
I guess.
It's kind of like a circus is just a museum for the,
exactly.
the magic.
Yeah.
Know, a living museum. But alas, I thought that had something to do with the first movie.
No.
Now that it doesn't, it was weird.
Yeah, it's very out of place and strange.
Very, very.
And the circus guy is just like, Paris is done for us now. I was like,
okay.
What?
Yeah.
There was one fire. There's fires every freaking day in this world.
Yeah, I thought it was an homage to the first one, so that is weird. Officially weird.
No.
Can I talk about something I liked in this movie?
Please do.
The magic near the end. As soon as that blue flame popped off from Grimwald, whatever his name is.
Grindelwald.
Cool things started to happen. The only thing I didn't like about that scene was the awkward person on his side that was like, that he told earlier, are you going to be standing with us at the end?
I don't know who that character is. He's not in the first one.
He's not?
No. There's no reason like why he's... I guess just because he doubts him once.
Yeah. And then that doubt, his undying allegiance isn't there anymore because he was asking some questions. And so...
Seriously, that character has those lines in this movie and then dies. That's it.
Okay,
he's never in the first one.
And so he hesitates to go into the flames, goes to the flames, dies. That's the only part of that scene I didn't like. Everything else was really, really cool. Okay, so here's why I like it. I don't like it for any other reason but the fact that it ties to Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's tied to Harry Potter, but it ties to it that these were great wizards with great power that aren't around anymore. They don't even talk about them.
Yeah.
And it just kind of ties into like this cool thing, kind of like Darth Vader kind of having his kind of thing in the new Star Wars, right? He's not really talked about, but you know he's there. You know he was a great Jedi, right? Or Sith, whatever. So it was just so cool seeing these super strong wizards, and it's just like, wow. It's crazy just how powerful and amazing like these wizards are, like when they're like fighting off the big blue dragons and like all this, you know, stuff is going on, but then you just know they're gonna die.
Yeah,
and they won't be around. It's just like, I don't know. When I think of things like that, it really makes me feel something.
That's why it's hard to do prequels. I mean, with this franchise in particular, it's hard to go, well, you can't do sequels because everyone just be like, why doesn't Harry Potter show up and solve this?
And just solve it, yeah.
Unless you set it after he dies, which you could have done.
Yeah.
But like this, I don't have that problem because I don't know anything about the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just seeing it as what the story is.
Right.
And in that regard, it's fine. But but yeah, I know if you know a lot more about it, like people are mad about the spoiler alert, big spoiler alert, all right, I've set off the alarm bells, I've done everything I can.
Yeah.
Credence Bloodborne or whatever his name is
ends up being a Dumbledore.
He's Dumbledore's brother.
Oh really?
Not just a Dumbledore. He's Dumbledore's brother because. Grindelwald says your brother wants to destroy you, and they like cut back to Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it and going, why are they cutting between these two scenes right now? I thought Dumbledore was an only child or something. I don't know.
Then he had a sister.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you talked about with Tina. I lost mine, but it was
a sister. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 1927. Maybe they had some sort of thing that changed Credence into a guy. Maybe he's drank a lot of polyjuice.
Let's stop that now.
It's 1927.
Yeah.
but the... Yeah, like that whole thing like felt weird to me. I was like, they can't be saying that this is Dumbledore's brother, but then he says brother and they're cutting back and forth. I was like, this feels disconnected because I feel like that can't be what's happening.
Yeah, nothing.
And then they say it, and I was like,
Nothing about that made sense because it's like, but he was the, I thought after the baby switch,
yeah,
Credence was just nothing. Like, I'm like,
and wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, he's just like, now you're nothing. And that drives him to be even more evil because he's like, I really don't know because all of my family's dead because I was supposed to die on a cruise ship or something like that, right? But no, I guess the people on the ship were Dumbledore's.
Right, yeah.
But they somehow couldn't save.
Maybe then he's Dumbledore's nephew instead of brother. But why would he say brother? That doesn't make. I can't figure it out.
I don't doubt that it's brother, but I don't get how. I don't get the swap on the cruise ship thing not being significant if it was Dumbledore's, because Dumbledore's are like the strongest wizards ever.
Yeah.
How could they not survive that?
Well, that's where my question. That's my question is. Maybe the mother of that baby was Dumbledore's sister, which would make him his nephew.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It doesn't make sense. And like, I didn't feel anything when he said, like, I only felt a little bit when he said Dumbledore, but the only reason it didn't seem significant to me was in all of the Harry Potter movies that I know of, because Dumbledore always went off on like random tangents when he started telling stories, which I didn't really pay attention to. he never talked about a brother as far as I could remember. So I was like, oh, does that mean something? Like, Dumbledore had a brother. Cool, I guess.
Well, there's literally an article that I found that said it's impossible.
It's impossible?
It's impossible for him to have had this problem.
Really?
Like, there are a lot of people who... The article opens up and basically says that the problem with having a universe in film is that the more you create, the more you have to obey the rules.
Right.
And, like, they're people are legitimately mad about this. The end climax is not possible, this says. This is from express.co.uk.
Please, I have to hear this.
There's a major problem with inviting fans into a creative world. The more you build, the more you must obey the rules you've created. Suddenly changing timeless and basic facts is guaranteed to upset a fan base which has invested time, devotion, and money into something they love. Mm-hmm. The huge shock announcement at the very end of The Crimes of Grindelwald is a powerful cinematic moment, questionable, and leaves the audience staggered. It is also impossible. Warning, major spoilers from this point. Bam, bam, bam. Poor Green Sparebone has a miserable life. Blah, 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 blah. Film tricks audiences into thinking he's a Lestrange, and then pulls a huge twist in the end when Grindelwald tells Credence he is Aurelius Dumbledore. If this is true, it must surely break existing Harry Potter canon. And if it is a lie, it is a dirty trick to pull on poor Credence and the entire audience.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree. I think it's a dirty trick. And yeah. Like, because he just takes a little bird and then makes it a
phoenix.
But also, he was able to throw fire everywhere earlier, so who cares?
Yeah.
If Credence really is a Dumbledore, his parentage poses massive problems. If he is Albus's sibling, the dates do not match up. Kendra Dumbledore died in 1899, and the film is set in 1927, meaning Credence would have to be at least 28. Her husband Percival died in Azkaban sometime after 1890, so there's no chance of there being a secret half-sibling.
Yeah.
If Tenu Aurelius Dumbledore... Quality writing.
Yeah.
If Tenu Aurelius Dumbledore is a child of one of the three Dumbledore siblings, it also poses equally major problems for fans to swallow. Albus is... Anyway, yeah, it just goes on and complaints. But
I gotta read that article. I mean, I figure it's probably a trick, I guess.
That's what I think, too.
It would be cool, but like I said, he never said anything about a brother, but like they did that whole thing with like the brothers and sisters being connected right before that.
With the Lestrange family?
With the Lestrange family. Like, yeah, okay, so this is what happened, okay? So me and... I'm the real one. I'm the real son, okay? And then he bewitched my mom, and he had her, okay? So she's just a half. And then after that, he had another wife, so we're all technically connected somehow, because, you know, I'm connected to her, she's connected to me. With another... Exactly. That whole thing, right?
I'm sorry. I fell asleep at that point in the movie as well. Couldn't relive it.
I have a feeling they're going to try to do something similar with the Dumbledore lineage. I just have a feeling.
Why? It's boring.
It's very boring, but they're going to try to connect it. They have to. They have to. And
they have to now. They could have just not done this.
Check out how strong he is when he destroys his part of the mountain with just a flick of the wrist.
Yeah. I mean, that
was
cool.
Dumbledore. It was cool.
But that doesn't mean he's a Dumbledore. He's got a giant, massive, parasitic, magical entity living inside of him, disassembling his body and reassembling it at will.
That was the thing where he like turned into like the weird.
Yeah, the sand creature looking thing. Yeah, that's the Obscurus.
I don't know, man. I liked about this movie, like, that was great was just the grand magic. I just like seeing powerful wizards.
I was bored by the fire thing, the Ring of Fire.
It got boring. The only thing that was cool was like right at the end where it's just like you see them and you're just like, wow, these are just some strong wizards. But at the same time, what's her name who reads minds was in the circle. And like his brother was in the circle. And it's just like, I don't know.
Well, when I say I'm bored by it, the reason I say I'm bored is because like it starts out, it's interesting. He lights the fire. Everyone's like, what's going on? And then it starts like whipping out at people and disintegrating them. That was neat.
That was sick.
I liked that. That was cool.
They're all dead.
But then, like, they don't overcome that necessarily. No. It's just Leta Lestrange distracts him, I guess, so they can apparate and go away.
Yeah, I don't know why she did that.
And then at the end, they form a circle and make fire. But that posed a lot of questions for me because I was like, okay, are these independent creatures that Grindelwald created from fire that are now going out? Mm-hmm. Or is Grindelwald directly controlling these things and they're drones, basically? And if so, why are they acting like creatures? Why isn't it just fire?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I don't know very much about Harry Potter.
I think it's just a spell that was meant to consume. And so it just took the form of dragons to spread.
Okay.
Yeah, so fire took a spell. Like, he just did it. He just like clicked him and he was gone. He did not even care about it anymore. And I think that was the whole, I never liked London, so I'm just going to do this catastrophic spell and leave.
Yeah.
That was like the... I hate London or whatever.
Yeah, that was a dumb... Oh my God, that was a dumb moment.
It was kind of dumb.
I hate London. And I feel like that wasn't even like... That wasn't in the script. I feel like that was just Johnny Depp looked directly at a camera and said, record this.
He might
say
it.
I hate London.
Right. I like, because you think it's kind of focused towards like Tina. What's her name? Lena? Tina?
Well, Tina's the one who's hunting in the aura.
The one who dies.
That's Leta.
Leta Lestrange. I thought it was kind of like towards Leta, like, I almost had her and now she's not with me anymore. I hate London or something like that.
Yeah.
But, because that's the only thing that happened before then.
Or is that just the name of the spell that you have to do to produce dragons that will consume London?
Every time we say I hate London, there's like,
yeah, dragons. Everyone's like, stop saying this. Why? It's just traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, overall, though, like, I'm ragging on it a lot, but...
Right, I feel like we were ragging on it.
Generally speaking, like, there's interesting moments in here. There's, mm-hmm. like, the stuff with Jacob, where, like, the guy gets made to laugh by Newt, and then he starts laughing at the guy who's laughing. Like, you know, like, that all that stuff is fun, and it's, like, that part of the world mm-hmm. that I really enjoy and had fun with. And then there's just these baffling, like... Not inconsistencies, but jumping back and forth between storylines and them not actually converging, really.
Yeah, there's no convergence. They just all meet in one place.
Yeah, the characters end up at the same place, but the storylines don't have anything to do with one another by the time that you get there. They don't affect one another.
No.
They all are about the same sort of thing, but they don't actually affect change.
I know, and like they do such a good job of setting it up, but it just never leads to anything, which I think is like the leading up story, like the movie before the movie syndrome. Mm-hmm. Like the brother of Credence, supposedly, where he's like, either he dies or I do. What does that mean?
No, I have no idea.
And you think he's sick, you're like, oh man, there's like some timing spell, like he needs to kill his brother or else he dies, but it just ended up being some leech in his eye.
Yeah.
It was really common leech, you know, you just pull it out and he's fine.
Yeah, but that wasn't even like, that wasn't connected to it.
I thought it was. I don't know.
That had more to do with the prophecy, the he dies or I do.
Uh-huh.
But the prophecy itself, like from what I heard in the movie, I don't remember there actually being like, the avenging brother has to do this or he will perish.
Yeah.
He just says, I am the avenging brother, so you have to die. It's like, you are not giving us information that leads me to think that's actually the situation here.
It's like, I don't get it. Yeah. That was weird. So that was a story that didn't really lead anywhere.
And also, if Newt and Jacob are stupid enough to walk into a dungeon and get captured, they deserve to be there.
Right.
Never go first when someone else is leading mm-hmm. you. That doesn't even make logical sense.
Right this way, good sir. Oh, yeah, in here. I mean, they did see her, so, you know, that excitement kind of kicked in.
But but they went down the steps before that.
Oh, yeah.
There were two sets of steps. They went down the steps before that, before he did, and she was in, like, another corridor off to the left.
And then they, yeah, that was silly.
Dummies.
It was dumb.
What were you about to say? I'm frustrated because I feel like these movies could be better.
They definitely could.
And I want them to, like, for all of the things that I've said that are just kind of me going like, yeah, this is my thoughts, you know, and complaining about stuff. I want stuff to be good because this is so hard. It's so hard to make a movie.
Oh yeah,
it's so incredibly hard to make a 30-second commercial. Like, it's so freaking hard.
Yeah,
and it takes so many people, so many hours of work, and it's just like, I just want it to be the best that it can be.
Right.
You know, and so when I see something, I'm like, this seems like something that could have been prevented. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that caused that to not happen differently?
Yeah.
And I'm genuinely curious, especially with this series where, you know, J.K. Rowling, by all accounts, has an incredible imagination.
Phenomenal book writer. Phenomenal.
I mean, I never read the book, so I can't comment much on her writing style. But like, there's such an interesting world here that even just from Fantastic Beasts 1 and 2, and not knowing anything about the rest of the Harry Potter franchise, really, I'm going, oh, I'm like excited by this and think it's really interesting.
Right.
And to have that coupled with this story that, like, meanders and feels like there's really no reason for what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Like that just kind of like, oh, I want it to be better, you know?
Me too. My big thing that I want to end it at, for me at least, because I think without Newt, this movie wouldn't have been nearly as charming.
Yeah, Newt's
that's
awesome.
That's his part. He, like, it wouldn't have been what it was without him. My thing is, stop making movies just to make another movie.
Yeah.
I get it. No one wants to watch a 4, 6, 8 hour movie. But have at least a clear, I guess, protagonist, antagonist, or protagonist and catastrophic event, or protagonist and something. Like, have it clear by the end of the movie, and have a solution. Now, there could always be something more, but I feel like it should always complete something. What's the word for it?
It should
always
have a finale. No, this one has a finale, and it's not,
like, I wouldn't even call it a finale.
It doesn't have closure.
Yeah, like, it doesn't have finale, it doesn't have closure, it just has a, that literally could have been the middle of the movie.
Yes, and it feels like the middle of a movie.
You're Dumbledore. I mean, I guess if it was more of a that could be something, a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Tune in next week.
Because it's just like, okay, that's just something else you just added on to these 10 more problems.
Right.
Like, we already knew he was going to try to kill Dumbledore. We already knew he was powerful. It doesn't matter if he's his brother. Like, what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
It's a lot like that thing where everyone tries to go Rey as Obi-Wan's daughter. It's like, that's not, no one wants that.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to force this? It's just like, if that is in the movie, I love Obi-Wan. No one wants an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie more than I do, Ian.
It's true.
No one in the world.
It's true.
But if he met a nice girl and they had a baby and then he abandoned her on a desert planet, I'd be like, well, now I hate Obi-Wan.
It's kind of weird, Obi. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I, like, even the Avengers movie, as soon as I knew it was a part one of two, I was like, ugh. Even though it ended up being good.
Yeah, yeah.
It ended up being good, but the whole time...
That one does have an end, it feels.
Yeah, it does. Like, that has... Like, I feel like that has a clear... Even though it's an L, you know, they take an L on that one.
Right.
But it's still,
for
like...
For people who aren't on the internet and the gaming community, that means that the Avengers lose.
Yeah. They lost that one.
I've learned that one when someone made fun of me. They're like, you're taking an L in this conversation. I was like, what does that mean?
What does that mean? But it's still, like, a clear, like... Boom.
Yeah. This one doesn't have that sort of closure.
There's no closure. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Someone needed to... I mean, I guess Lita died.
Did she?
Yeah, she got burnt.
Oh, okay. I feel nothing for that character.
Me either.
She's not in the first one. She's mentioned in the first one. And then this one, they introduce her. She says, I'm a bad person. And then she dies. And I guess we're supposed to go, no, she's a good person. And even though if you're a monster once, you can fix yourself. But that it's poorly developed.
Yeah. Who really hasn't swapped the baby?
I don't know. I wanted this to be more than it was. But it was more than it was expecting to see as far as storylines.
Yeah.
But that made it less.
Right? I get it. But at the same time, it's just like, there's no way that was a book.
Yeah. I will say this. It is better than anything I've ever written. It's better than anything I've ever shot.
Mm-hmm.
It is, on all accounts, technically better than anything I can produce with the resources I have at hand, especially.
True that.
But at the same time, there are definitely issues that someone could have made better to give this like its own voice,
mm-hmm.
instead of being this middle ground thing.
True.
Also,
I just want to see more Newt.
Jude Law is good.
Who?
Jude Law, Dumbledore.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah, I love Jude Law.
I hate that stupid widow's peak they gave him. It looks so bad.
Is that not just his hair?
I don't know. I've seen him with like a straight hairline before. So that was a pretty crazy freaking widow's peak.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting older.
Yeah. Hey, Dumbledore goes bald in the future, so let's just cut off this and cut off that.
What are you gonna do if you end up with a widow's peak?
I don't think I'd have one. I think it'd just be gone. Yeah. Cause, like, everything is going back. But all at the same time. So I think I'm fine.
So it's like you've got, like, just, it's a receding hairline, but not in the way that white people get it.
Yeah. The Vegeta hairline, yeah. is what I call it.
Well, if the other men in my family are anything to go off of, I'm going to have Vegeta's hair.
You're going to have Vegeta's hairline?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can pull it off, Vegeta pulled it
off.
Oh,
I can't. I can't pull off a good hairline.
Hey. The only thing is, you got to make sure you like keep it styled when that happens. You can't go 2 weeks without a cut.
Yeah, I've been like a month and a half without a cut, and because you can't see really my mouth and face right now.
It seems fine to me, dude.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
I feel like I look like a shaggy dog.
That shaggy dogs are in.
I have shaggy dog hair and dad bod, so I could pick up anyone I wanted, right?
Yeah. Have you seen Justin Bieber recently?
No.
You need to look.
We haven't talked in a while.
No, I mean, we talked last week.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you. Yeah, he stopped texting.
Look up Justin Bieber in, like, No Brainer video. That's the style right now.
Oh, gosh.
Like, it used to be the short, kind of roughly kind of thing. Now it's clean cut, but long.
I don't think that's a good look. Even if it's in right now.
It's a good look.
I don't know.
And it's easy.
I like things to be difficult.
No, you don't.
Which is why I make this podcast as hard to listen to as possible.
Hey, carefree is the way to go. That's just me, though. Yeah. But anyways, I know we're not talking about that. Even Newt's hair. It looks good, right?
His does look good.
It looks good. And that's just
But that is a lot of product holding that up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
To make it look like that easy, unkempt thing, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but that's the look, bro. I'm telling you. But he kept it short on the sides. He could have went long all the way around. It would have looked so good, but whatever.
I don't know. I kind of like the short on the sides short and just that like flop the, of like, hair
the weird,
on the top.
Like, flop. Yeah. That adds to the awkwardness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The guy who played young Newt had his mannerisms down really well.
Yeah. You can tell he probably like watched the first movie and was like, yeah I could do that.
Yeah. I thought it was a very good, like, oh, this is definitely that person, but younger, except, you know, mm-hmm. his lips are a lot different.
Yeah. His lips are different. His eyes are a different color.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm.
I never can tell people's eye color. I don't know what is broken in my brain, but eye color does not, as it soon as I'm register. Not looking at someone, can't remember what color their eyes are.
Most of them, they have like lights in their eye the whole time. So all you see is the dark.
Yeah.
But when they were outside at the tree, you saw his eyes were a whole lot darker. I was like, whatever.
Contacts, man.
Maybe eyes changed colors. Well, you can see contacts so easy. Like, Johnny Depp's contact was bugging me.
That thing was like 3 inches off the front of his eyeball.
And like, I get a white contact to show, you know, oh, he's a special eye color. But like, get one that covers at least one side of the iris. Because this one, it showed the outside of his iris, then it was red on the outside of the contact, and then it was white, and then it showed his actual pupil, which was the black. And I'm like, bro, there's like 8 colors going on here. Just have it white all the way around, or just have white and then the pupil, or have white on the inside, and then like show the red on the outside iris.
Give him an eye patch. If you're gonna do the Nazi look, just go full bore.
Just go full.
Shave
eye
his
patch.
Head. Give him a Nazi eye patch.
I love the white eye look, but with that little tiny pupil that never changes size in the middle.
Do you think they should have just done it digitally?
Maybe. Because like,
do you know in the movie Dark Shadows, they went through and it cost millions of dollars to remove every blink that Johnny Depp did.
He blinked a lot.
Well, every time they didn't want him to blink through the whole movie, so he did it the performance just regular, and then they went through and digitally removed every blink from Dark Shadows.
Wow!
Because he's a vampire, and vampires don't blink apparently.
Vampires blink.
Millions of dollars.
Vampires blink.
Millions of dollars.
Anyways, so. Longer hair on Johnny Depp.
Yeah, all the problems could have been fixed with hair.
Yeah.
Hair extensions.
And no, just leave it how it was.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's
more Newt.
More Newt would be good. Yeah. And a Newt-centric story more than this was. This gets lost in how many characters it's trying to develop.
Mm-hmm. It's a development movie, and I hate it. I hate development movies.
But you gave it a good because it's interesting enough, the world?
I gave it a good because even though they were slapping you on the face with magic every 2 seconds, we get it, it's a magical world, everything's magical.
Yeah.
But some of the, like, when it comes to J.K. Rowling's universe of magic, it's not too kind of, like, witchy. I hate like, witchy magic.
It's
ooh, spells and
it's just utility.
Like, it's very utility, and it's very just, like, I just have this sixth sense, almost.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, like, I'm conjuring demons or crap
right.
Like
yeah,
that.
I just have the ability to say a word and make this float around.
Exactly,
and
like I have like the flick of the wrist. And
it's
I'm like,
it's exactly how people would use it if they just had that power.
Exactly, yeah. Like it's cool, it's suave, and it's realistic, and it's like it's not too over the top.
Yeah,
the only thing that's over the top is like when they show all the magic around the world all the time, which I get it. Magical beasts and where to find them, stuff like that. But still.
I wish this series was more about the magical beasts because that's the stuff that I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no.
That's why the circus is in this movie, is to introduce a couple new magical beasts.
I thought I unplugged my mic. Yeah,
you unplugged your mic or just your headphones?
I thought I did.
No, you're good.
Yeah,
no editing.
No editing. All in all, I still give it a good. Just because that grand, like, magic ending that made me feel just a little bit of, like, these people are great and they're going to die one day.
Yeah. Impending doom is surely there for them all.
Yeah, but it makes me feel good.
Oh, because you hate all of them enough to want to see
no,
them
no,
die?
No.
Oh.
This isn't a movie where I want to see everybody die. It's just, like, it just reminds me of the natural order of things.
Mm.
No matter how great you are. Someone's going to be greater.
How many dragon flame birds you can summon.
Yeah, someone's always going to be greater. Even Grindelwald, I'm like, it's crazy how no one's talking about Voldemort. Oh, wait, he's not even Tom Riddle yet, you know?
Yep.
But he's going to be even stronger. And it's just like, I love that. Just it's not even in the movie, but like I can put the pieces together myself.
Right,
and
yeah.
It makes me like tingle a little bit.
All right. Well, we're going to leave Ian to his tingles and say thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this. If you do, make sure you drop us a review on iTunes. It really does help. Like, if you want the show to keep going, seriously, go drop a review on iTunes. We're giving away a shirt once we give to 30 reviews.
We've been saying this
on
for 4
iTunes.
Weeks now.
And no one cares. That's fine. I don't want to clothe the world anyway.
Yeah.
So you can leave us a review on iTunes. You can find us social media at RollSoundPod everywhere. You can email us RollSoundPod@gmail.com if you would like to suggest a topic for the upcoming months where there's just nothing coming out, like in January and February. Pretty sure there's nothing. So so please, if you have a movie you're like, people need to know more about this movie, then let us know. We'd like to talk about it or hear about it or at least watch it, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can catch Ian on stream. He streams as Malicious on Twitch. He streams every night from 11 p.m. to ungodly hours of the morning.
So, 9 a.m.
9 a.m.?
It's official.
It's too long.
I might have to take the night off, but I shouldn't.
I mean, you officially set your hours and then don't stream the next day.
Like, I have to go home and eat.
Do a YouTube video.
If I fell asleep right now, I'd only get 5 hours of sleep for the past 2 days.
You're dead.
But I have to do the YouTube video. That'll be 2 hours.
Ugh.
Plus an hour of rendering.
It's possible. It's so possible.
I have to get like 30 minutes of sleep and then stream for 10 hours. Anyways, this isn't about me.
All right. Well, I just wanted people to know where they could find you. Because
thanks, guys.
If you're really, really into this show, it's probably because you love Ian so much and you want to see more of him. So, all right. Thanks for listening. It's time for us to say goodbye like a goat.
You go first this time.
That's breaking tradition. I don't know if I can.
You're right.
My goater won't work.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.